Hey, you know, there's a lot of unsung heroes that are behind the scenes and that do a ton of work for different events. And as I look across the room, there's a ton, but there's one that I want to acknowledge this morning because she does a ton of work that nobody ever sees. Well, they see it, but they don't see her doing it. So, Bonnie, would you stand up? Just stand up. She's our decorator. She does a team effort. She gets people together, and she does all the decorating stuff. And look, she plans for this like a year in advance, right? She's making stuff and stacking it at her house. And what a blessing. So I wanted to say thank you, Bonnie. You're awesome. And so we couldn't do it without your guys' help. So everybody that has a hand in all this stuff, listen, there's 85 kids that get to hear about Jesus when we do this, approximately, depending on the year. But we've had up to 85 plus kids for PBS. And so the whole point, it's a lot of work, but the whole point is that these kids get to know who Jesus is and know what the Bible stories are about. And so many hands make light work. If you guys want to come help us, we'd love to have it. And it's pretty awesome to watch these kids grow over the time that they're with us. We get them for a week, well, 5 days, and it's pretty good. So, hey, we're a family. This is a family church. We want to know each other, so I want everybody just to stand up, shake hands with this one that's next to you so you guys aren't strangers. We don't want any strangers in the house. Just say hi. What's that? I did it again. Hallelujah. Now that everybody knows one another, it's hard to stop once we get started, right? Hallelujah. Let's just for the Wednesday recharge, you guys, this Beta Satan teaching is very eye-opening, and so I encourage you guys. We have a Wednesday night recharge, starts at 7 o'clock, and so if you haven't come to our recharge sessions, this would be a good time to jump in. We're going to jump into that book, and really we're going to open our eyes to the ways that the enemy uses to distract God's people, and so it's a very good understanding of quality biblical understanding of who we fight. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Right, we fight against principalities and powers, and he is an amazing trickster. He's a deceiver, and he has been since time began. Adam and Eve in the garden, the first people that God put on planet Earth, the enemy went out, and what did he do? He deceived them. So we want to not be deceived, so we need to know what the Bible tells us so that when the enemy comes to try to get us in deception, we'll see the tricks of that, and we want to teach that so we get a good understanding of how he works. The Bible's full of that. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and for those 40 days and nights, he went out there, and guess what the enemy was trying to do? Trying to trick him. And he was using the Bible, the Word, to do it. But Jesus came out empowered, and we need to do the same thing. We need to come out empowered so that we understand what's going on in our world today. We understand how the enemy works and who we are in Christ. So come to that. It'd be a good eye-opener. We are in the Old Testament. We've been working through the Old Testament. We're in Genesis 41, and we've been kind of going through the patriarchs from the very beginning, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then we're looking at the life of Joseph now, and we're in Genesis 41. We're going to go through 37 verses. Maybe we'll get through the whole thing, but I'm thinking we'll get that far. Last week, we were at the park. We did church in the park, which is an awesome thing. The leaders of the church allow us to still proclaim Jesus in the middle of this town that we live in. That's awesome. And we're glad to do that. We had about 100 people there, about 97 to 100, something like that, which is a pretty good turnout. And so I talked about unity in the community, if you guys were there. And I really want us to understand as a community of people that we need to work together. We need to be able to understand we're not always going to agree about this, the same things, but we can know that the main thing is the main thing, and that is God is our King, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ came to give us opportunity to walk out truth. And so if we do that together, even if we can't agree on all things, we know that we can agree on God, right? And he's still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So we talked about that. And then the week before that, we were, of course, here and the divine appointment. If you guys remember, Joseph was in prison and the baker and the cupbearer, they were got thrown in prison by Pharaoh because of whatever. We don't know exactly. It didn't say. But they were thrown in there and Joseph got to minister to them and interpreted their dreams. And the dreams that he interpreted for them, they were released that next day according to their dream. And one of them, got killed, and the other one was restored back to his place, which was the baker. And so Joseph, remember, he told the guy that when he got out, the baker, remember me and what I did for you when you get out. Well, 2 years have passed now, and he's still there in prison, and Pharaoh has this dream, right? So the leader, the ruler of Egypt at that point has this dream, and nobody can interpret it. So when I say divine appointment, remember we went through the week before last, we talked about divine appointments. Do divine appointments, when they show up, does the thing that happens in that divine appointment instantly happen for you? Usually not. It takes time. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. And I remember telling you the story about myself when the Lord said he wanted me to go into the ministry. He wanted me to let go of the business, all of my kingdom. He asked me, would you lay down your kingdom for mine? And remember that story. It took 8 years for that to happen. So usually when God's speaking to you and you hear him, you need to apply yourself. Because listen, what happens is we need to learn to have some integrity before God. We need to learn how to respond in life situations so that we don't get carried away by circumstances, but we walk out truth and continue to walk out truth no matter what. And that's what Joseph was going through. That's what he was learning. And the picture and the story of Joseph is so important for us to get our head wrapped around, because you guys are going through the same things. Right? You are. You're going through a testing periods. You're learning how God operates. You're learning your place in this relationship with the Lord and what he's called you to do. And you have to be humble before God and others, right? And healing comes. As David's psalm said, he restores my soul. He restores my mind, will, and emotions so that I can grasp the truth of the King and then come to that understanding of who I am in Christ and then what he has called me individually to do. And as you hear God's voice and as you respond to the message of the Lord for you personally, then he will take you to the place he's wanting you to go, right? It's just, he's got a plan. You aren't just a mistake, right? You just didn't happen to show up and go through life, and then we'll evaluate what you did and then whether you deserve heaven or hell. That isn't how it works, right? If that was true, all of us deserve hell. Right, all of us, because none of us are righteous, none, not one. And so we have to understand our part in this, is that as we receive Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, he opens an understanding for us in relationship with him, and then what are we doing here? What is God's plan for me? And he has one, okay? And so as we go through this relationship walk, this integrity walk, because you go through tests, right? How many of you guys have been through a test? How many of you failed the test, right? And so you guess what? The cool thing about God is you get to take the test again. It's not over. Hallelujah, right? It's kind of like DMV. You can go back. I don't know how many times it took some people, but I got to do it the first time through. I passed amazingly. I don't know how, but I did. Actually, the reason why is because I was the youngest of four brothers and sisters, and so I helped them all get through their license. And so by the time it was my turn, I had all the answers, right? So we understand that this test that we go through, these integrity tests, and that's what they are. They see how you respond to life and what works and what you're going to do with it. Now, if you get all prideful and you stand up for your rights and you get your way, then God will probably have to run you around the mountain a little bit, because it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do with you. And so this is what Joseph is learning. And so he's going through this element of understanding. He's gone through all of these tests, from his brothers throwing him into slavery, to the Pharaoh's wife, or not Pharaoh, but Potiphar's wife, lying about him, so he got thrown in prison, to this place where he's interpreting dreams, and Pharaoh has this dream. And that's where we're going to kick it off. And I've entitled this, God Tells Us About Our Future. God tells us about our future, doesn't he? Let me just give you some insight. God tells us about what's to come, and we all know this. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior, and you don't recognize the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, well, guess what your future holds, right? Separation from God is not a good thing. But if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're walking out this biblical understanding of your relationship with him, guess what your future holds? Guess what your future gets to look like. And it's your choice. It is a choice, and you have to make the choice. First, you have to understand who God is, right? He is God, and we are not, right? And he is very concerned about us. He loves us deeply, and he wants us to understand this relationship between him and us. That's why he created us. What in the world would he want to do with people like us? You know, that's my question is, God, you had things all figured out. You were perfect. Why did you create us? We're not perfect, and we have all kinds of flaws. Because he wanted us to love him, right, because of who he is, not for what we could do for him. And then he gave us a choice, right? We can either follow him or not. He gave us free will. All of us have free will. You can choose to do whatever you want, right? But he has given us a path of righteousness that we can follow if we choose to. And that's what this is all about. And then he puts us in places where we can be a blessing to the Lord and to others, not only to God, but to others. So let's pick it up in 41. And it starts this way. It says, now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile, there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and gold. Then behold, 7 ears then, and scorched, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now in the morning, his spirit was troubled. How many of you guys have awoke with a spirit that's troubled? I don't know. Maybe you just need to crawl back in bed and go back to sleep or something. I don't know. But I've woke up that way. I just woke up thinking, I was troubled, and in my spirit. Not so much what was physically going on, but my spirit gets troubled. And it's not so much about circumstances, but it's just that feeling or that you got of something happening or something going on. And so this is what was happening to Pharaoh. Now in the morning, his spirit was troubled, so he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. And then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh. Remember the chief cupbearer, the one that was in prison with Joseph? Finally, 2 years later, opportunity comes where he gets to share. Do you think God knew all that? Right? And Joseph even told him, would you please tell him, you know, what I've done for you so that he'll let me out? 2 years later, this happens. And I think God already knew all that. So then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh, because basically what he's bringing up is old stuff that he got thrown in prison for, right? And usually you and I don't really want to talk about old stuff that we got in trouble for, right? We want to try to leave that alone. We don't want to talk about that. That's the kind of stuff you don't want to say. But in this instance, it came to him, and so he thought it would go well, so he brought it up. So Pharaoh was furious with his servant, he's telling him, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and chief baker. We had a dream on the same night, and he and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. So each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. And he restored me to my office, but he hanged him. He was talking about the baker. So then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, here's something I thought was interesting. Joseph says, he answered Pharaoh and he said this. He said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, this isn't about me. It isn't about even what I can do. It's about what a God is allowing me to do for others. And so he's given it to the one that deserves it. Right? And we need to be careful of that. Because sometimes we'll go, yeah, we're all that. Or we'll take credit for something when honestly it was God's hand and it was by his hand that it happened. Now, I can think of many instances that God has done that for me over and over and over again. And it wasn't because I was all that. It's because God just chose to watch over me. And it's the same with you. He chooses to watch over you. And we need to be careful to give the glory to the one that deserves it, and that is him. And so that's what Joseph did here. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph in my dream. Behold, I was standing in the bank of the Nile, and he gives him the thing about the ugly cows and the cows and the ears and all that stuff. Let's pick it up in 25. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. So the seven good cows are the seven years. And the seven good ears are the 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that come up after them are the 7 years. The seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, hold our place there. I'm going to go to 32. Remind me where I'm at, okay? So I want to talk about that for a minute. As we live in the days that we live in, the Bible says, understand the times that you live. The Bible tells us to do that. Be wise and understand the times that you're living in. Now, I have for the last 10 years have been hearing from the Lord something very important, to prepare. And it's just those simple words, to prepare. Now, I mean, even the secular world, if you get on anywhere you want to look at, they're saying that this system that we live in is having some difficult issues and our financial system is about to bust. Now, we can go, you know what? People have been saying that for a long time. But the reality is, it's not about what they say. It's about what is God saying. Now, here's a question for you. What has God been telling you? When you look at the circumstances and you've been praying about things, right, and you've been kind of watching the way things have been going on and these bubbles that are going on and all this finance issue, what has he been saying to you in the midst of all of this? Now, I can't You know, I'm not in your head, and I don't understand what God's telling you, but I know what God's telling me. And that's the most important thing that you all need to know. Does God speak to you? Absolutely. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening to what he's telling you? Because it's subtle, and it doesn't scream. His voice isn't, he doesn't grab you and shake you around. It's a still small voice, and it's important that we turn our ear toward that still small voice. Now, we can read Scripture from cover to cover, and he's already given us future events. We know what's coming, don't we? If you've read this, you know. It's not going to get brighter. It's going to get darker, right? And the world's going to turn their back on God, the world. But we as believers, we're going to watch things unfold just like this has already told us. It's happening right before our very eyes, whether you want to see it or not. You can bury it. You can stick your head in the dirt, and you don't have to look at it. And you can go, no, God will take care of me, and not think about the future. But I got to tell you, now's the time to start thinking about it. Just saying. You need to start thinking about it. Because, listen, there's going to come a time, there's things coming where we need to prepare. And I'm not saying that we are not going to get through this, because we will. The Bible tells us those who listen to the Lord, right, will live securely, right? Those who bend their ear toward him will live securely. So you got nothing to worry about. But you do if you're not listening, right? And so for the last 10 years, for me, the Lord has been telling me personally to prepare. And for many things, right? To prepare. Now, first of all, prayer is very important, right? And we need to be spending time with the Lord and spending our time in the Word and listening to what the Lord is telling us. Now, have you guys, has God been speaking to you about things? Okay, just for fun, what is a simple word that the Lord's been telling you? Out of debt. That's been like a big one, number one. How many of you guys have heard that? Do not be in debt. Debt is the bad thing. In fact, the Bible tells us the borrower becomes the lender's slave. So who is your lender? Who is lending to you? Who are you in debt to? Well, the world is standard of lending. You know, there's a way, most of us have homes and we have renters, or we own our home, we're making payments on our homes, right? That's a standard of life. We have certain obligations we need to go to, but if we're not listening to that and we're buying things we probably don't need when we have a debt that we need to be paying for, then you're not listening, right? You're still going down that path of doing your own thing, thinking everything's going to be good when God has said, get out of debt. What's another one? Anything else? Find a home in peace. This world is not our home. Where's our peace going to come from? Yeah. All right. No matter what circumstance you're in, God is the one that brings us peace. So what else? What else is God saying? Man, that's a good one. Right? Be thankful for everything God does. In fact, he tells us that. He said, first of all, he tells us to be content with what God's given us. Are you content or do you want more? Huh? All of us would like to have more, right? But the Bible's telling us to be content, be thankful for what he's given us, and walk in that pathway of just being content, knowing that God is good. We're going to stay what we have. We're going to work through what we're doing. We're not going to get carried away with anything else. We're just going to be content. It's good. So as God speaks, and he is, he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us little things. You know, I know he spoke to me a lot of things. Family is important. Did you guys know that? I'm talking about church family, right? All kinds of things fragment. And family, in the world sense, fragments probably more than most things, right? Because the hearts of people are very selfish. And the Bible says in the last days, the love of men will grow cold, right? In the last days, the love of men will grow cold. So when you're looking at the world stance, people just want to be left alone. They're okay. You guys stay out of my world. I'm fine. I don't want nothing to do with anybody. I'm going to put my fence up around my place, and this is my kingdom, and that's good, right? So most people don't even know their neighbors, and they don't want to know them, right? But what does the Bible say? It's totally opposite, right? It says to love them and to know them and do whatever you can for them to help them. It says, love your neighbor. Yeah. How are you doing with that one? So we have an understanding of what the Bible is telling us. We got to step outside of our comfort zone and love others. We have to be content with what we got and prepare for the days to come. Right? So there's the word of the Lord for us today. All from what we've spoke about today and just hearing from what God's speaking. Right? And that's a standard for us to grab a hold of. The reality is most people don't really want to listen to what God's saying because it's not the easiest thing to do. Right? I remember being totally content with where I was and thinking I'm going to build this kingdom for myself and live my future out and retire with money and be okay. Right? That was my plan for life. How many of you had that plan? Yeah? Well, God came in and changed all that and said, you're going down a wrong path. That all needs to go away. I want you to do this. Now, God does that to you too, doesn't he? How many times has God done that for you? I want you to stop doing what you're doing and I want you to do this. And most of us will go, wait a minute, I'm good right here, God. I'm all right. I don't need to make any changes. I'm happy right here. God's saying you won't get where I'm called you to go unless you make those changes. Right? So righteousness, integrity, and following what God says. And that's all he's asked us to do. So that's it. You can't do any more than that. Because what more can you give God except for you? I mean, he doesn't really need your stuff. I mean, really. What do you think he's going to do with your stuff? Burn it. Eventually. So he doesn't really care about that. What he cares about is you, right? And he's a jealous God. He doesn't want just a piece of you on Sunday, right? He wants all of you. So that when the days come, says this preparation, when we get back to the word, didn't God have a plan for Joseph from the very beginning when he gave him the dream? The very beginning, back when he was a youth, and he stood up and told his brothers, yeah, your stuff's bowing down to mine. That's all that, you know, he's telling this dream, and it's always putting him up on a pedestal, right? And God had to shake that out of him. Couldn't use him if that's how he's looking at it. So I had to take and put a little pressure on him. How many of you guys have been in pressure? That pressure's there for a reason, to refine you, right? It's like gold. You got to have a little bit of heat, a little bit of pressure to refine you, to make you pure, to get you into a vessel that God can use, right? The potter and the clay, that story, when you read the story, that whole story is about you. It's about God molding you into a vessel that he can use for his pleasure, for his purpose, not for yours. So if he builds you into a spit tune, how you feel about that? I'm a little concerned. But if he's called you to be a servant, right, you're going to get spit on. Just saying. Not everybody's going to be happy with you. Right? When you're serving the Lord, the world's not going to be real happy with you. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, other Christians will come against you maybe and give you a hard time. But still, God's called you to be faithful and to do what he's called you to do. And so he's molding you and shaping you. And as we see in Joseph's reign here, is that God put him through all this so that he could be used in the days to come for such a time as this. And it's the same for us. God has allowed us to be born at this point and at this time for such a time as this. Now, we can just live in our little world and not really pay attention or not care, right? But is that God what God wants you to do? No. He wants you to engage in the reality of your life and focus on that, right? What is it that you're doing that's accomplishing the goals for God and his kingdom? Right? I want to remind you, what else can you give God that he really wants? The only thing he really wants and needs is you. And the question is, are you letting him have you? Because you have a choice. You can either let him have you, or you can have you. Right? You can have you, or God can have you. But if you have you, enjoy it while you can. But if you let God have you, right, then he gets what he needs, and then he can accomplish the goals that he has for others. Because it's by your willingness to serve and to do what he's called to you, then others can be benefited by it, right? Okay, so we're going to get back to the story. And where am I at? 32. You guys are good. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. Now, let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven years of abundance, and then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now, the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. And so what we see here is that Joseph's actually telling him, you need to find somebody that's pretty smart to take care of all this stuff. And so what we'll see is that Pharaoh decides that's exactly what he's going to do, and Joseph's going to be the one to do the job. And he believed the dream. He believed Joseph and what he said. And you'll see what happens in the future when you come back next Sunday. But I'm going to give you a little glimpse. But the reality is these stories are given for our awareness, right? That's why he wrote the Bible. The Bible is written for past, for present, and for future. And future events, we're concerned about the present, and we're concerned about the future, aren't we? I mean, you should be. The problem with us being concerned about the present and the future is that we have no idea where we came from, right? That's why we went back to Genesis. That's why we went back to the beginning. Because if you do not know what God's structure is and was, how are you going to know what his structure is going to do and be in the future? How are you going to know that? Unless you do a little history study. So, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that what the Bible says? Is he changing? No. Is he going to change? No. So, what is changing? The gravitation away from God, right? That's what's happening. You look across the world today, and you're going to find out that you just do your own study. You can look at any empire you want in history, anyone you want, pick one, look at it, find out where they started and where they ended, and it'll tell you a whole lot about history and your future, right? So if you take that study, go home and study out empires, just do a study on empires, just one little study, find out how long they lasted and what was the end result of it, and you're going to find out the United States and all these other powers are stuck right in the middle of that same story. And you know why they're stuck in the same story? Because they didn't look at this story. Right? They didn't look at it. Because if they had looked at it, they would understand what causes degradation from what God's called us to be. Right? You can't walk down that path very long and God's hand will come off of them. This is what the Bible says. Right? You cannot do things against God and expect a good result. It just won't happen. You keep sinning, and what's going to happen? That sin will end up taking you over. right? If you drink and you like to drink and you drink a lot, you're going to become an alcoholic. It'll just happen. Drugs take your life. Sexual immorality. AIDS. You know there wouldn't be AIDS if we'd listen to the Bible? Just wouldn't be. Yeah, because people would have the same partner. They wouldn't be out doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And so, well, blood transfusions, I guess that happens. But, I mean, there's exceptions to the rule. But that came from lots of immorality. And so you can look at all these things that if we'd follow God's principles, then we wouldn't have certain things happening. And so we're in that place right now where we need to listen to God, right? Is everybody in agreement with that? Right? So you can't be listening to the world standard, right, and God's standard, because they're opposite. They're polar opposites, right? The world does this, and God's doing this. And the reality is, who are we following, right? Who are you following? And if you're not following your King and your Savior, because if you want to finish the race, if you want to finish well, Joseph's a great story to look at, right? You can look at lots of different stories. If you look at Saul was a story of a king that started off well, right, and ended horrible. Well, he was listening to God in the beginning, but he ended up listening to the world things and trying to please people instead of God. And you can look at these stories all through the Bible and find out history. The history of the Bible is very interesting. And I think if we looked at the past and we looked at our present, we can establish the future for us individually, for your walk with the Lord and who you are with Christ. Because more you listen to God, the more you listen to Him, the more aware you're going to be of yourself and what you're doing, right? Because